Acts chapter 27, and we'll read from verse 39 through the end. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach, onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, they hoisted the mainsail into the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. We're going to be going through those verses, but I want to take for a theme those closing words of verse 44. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. These verses record a remarkable escape from certain destruction. And really, it was a most unexpected escape. We read in verse 20 that all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. The storm was so powerful, the sailors had no hope, they thought. And yet, by the end of the chapter, we read, all escaped safely to land. What changed? What caused this remarkable reversal of situations? How did the 276 souls on this boat go from such a helpless situation to such a certain salvation? Well, as we consider these questions, I want to see how the Apostle Paul thought of shipwrecks. I believe he wants to consider that the way of salvation of our souls is analogous to the way that these sailors and these 276 souls were saved. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to read verse 19. The Apostle Paul, writing late in life, says this: having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered a shipwreck. You can read 1 Timothy 1:19. The Apostle Paul here uses shipwreck as a picture of useless faith. Just as a wrecked ship is useless for taking you anywhere, so shipwrecked faith is useless for saving you. The people in this verse had rejected the faith and a good conscience, They had turned away from faith in God and had forgotten all of his laws, instead pursuing the world. So when we come to the end of Acts 27, I want to consider it in that way. But first we must consider the cause of the situation that they were in. Because we read back in verse 10 and 11 of Acts 27 this. The Apostle Paul said, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than the things spoken by Paul. The sailors and those on the ship, the centurion, had rejected the way of God spoken through Paul. Had they listened to the warnings of the Apostle Paul, they would not have been in this desperate situation in the storm. The cause was rebellion against God's ways and trust in the way of man instead. So the first point I want to consider, friends, is the horror of a life outside of Christ. We find elsewhere in the scriptures that this is actually Paul's fourth shipwreck. He was well aware of the horror and the dangers that could come about on the seas. The ship was tossed around. It was out of control. The sailors had no idea where they would end up. And friends, this is the picture of the unbeliever. You see, friends, a life outside of Christ is a life without control. In fact, it's a life where we don't control it ourselves, sin controls it. The scriptures tell us that whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And isn't this the reality? I think perhaps many of us know what it is to be powerless against temptation. Some of us have inescapable addictions that hold us captive. And others have those habitual sins that they can't seem to get out of. Sin can have control of your life, friends. And it will toss you around and take you to a destination that you do not want. You see, you have no more control over your life outside of Christ than these sailors did over this ship. Sure, you can choose the basic actions of your life, just like these sailors could walk around on the deck of the ship. But without Jesus Christ, you have no control over your destination and direction in life. It will lead to a final and a full destruction. Without Christ, you will not be controlled by your own will, but by your sin. This is a horrific situation. These sailors and those on the boat were in a state of complete helplessness and hopelessness. And my dear friends, if you have not yielded control of your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you do not control your life. Think about it. When did you last have a day without breaking the law of God? Which of you can have an hour without thinking any unclean thoughts? Friends, we may be slaves to sin and helpless without Jesus. The next thing I want to look at is the fake appeal of this world. Verse 39, we read, when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship. As day dawned and they could finally see their surroundings, they saw a sandy beach in the distance. It must have looked so appealing to everyone on that boat. It must have looked like it would give them comfort, like it would give them a place of safety. Perhaps they thought it would give them an easy way, finally, to be freed. I think perhaps they thought that beach must have looked so beautiful after seeing only the storm for days. No doubt it brought all the satisfaction to their earthly senses that they wanted at that point. But you see, it wasn't a safe haven, was it? This beach had fake appeal to them. It led them to destruction. And when we turn to the things of this world to find satisfaction and salvation in this life, the same fakeness will be found. Some people think they must turn to alcohol to drown their sorrows. Others think, no, I will find happiness if I fulfill my fleshly lusts. Others think, I know how I can escape this life. I can go to another country. Friends, these things will not free your conscience. They will not save you from guilt. You see, I've heard it said, this world is like a bubble. When you see a child blow a bubble into the air, it shimmers and looks so beautiful. We are fascinated by it and our attention is focused on it. But then before you know it, the bubble bursts and those things are gone. And friends, that's this world for you. Do not be deluded by the world. It does not provide a safe and suitable route through this wicked world. Though you may see many people pass that way, do not be fooled. This world can never answer those cravings, only the Lord Jesus can. Do not let this world, like that beach did to these sailors, lure you from the safe way of God. The next thing we can notice is that false confidence increases danger. In verse 40 we read this: and the sailors let go of the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. These sailors, were so falsely confident of that beach that they left everything behind to pursue it. They trusted themselves completely and placed all their trust in their own decision. See the foolish things they did. First they let go of the anchors, they cut the ropes that held the ship in place. These sailors laid aside every restraint that could have held them from the way of destruction. And how many people there are in this world who do just that spiritually? We set the word of God to one side and say, this is not important to me. We ignore the warnings of others who tell us of eternal danger looming. We say, the law of God, that one doesn't apply for me. And I think perhaps more than anything, how many people suppress the call of conscience? Perhaps once before in your life you can look back and see a time when you lied and it stung your conscience. It disturbed you and made you feel guilty. But now you lie time and again and it doesn't seem to bother you. You've let go of that restraint that will keep you in the way of God. What a dangerous situation. Perhaps you feel you have a false assurance. You think, I'm safe, when you're not. And you look around, perhaps as these sailors did, and they saw everyone else in agreement, and they thought, this is the right way. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. Do not follow it. Cutting the restraints will lead you further and further away from the way of God and the way of salvation. These sailors also loosed the rudder ropes. These ropes were those ropes which held up the pieces of wood that steered the ship. So when they cut the ropes, it meant, we think we can now steer this ship to safety. These sailors were fooling themselves. They thought they could steer themselves to safety. They thought they could direct their own destiny in this life. But of course they couldn't. They were even so sure that they hoisted the biggest sail on the ship so they could go full speed. And friends, I'm sorry to say there are many in this world who are doing just that. Having cut the restraints and tried to take control of their own life. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, they are rushing full speed towards destruction. Friends, do not think that you have any power in yourself to find your safe eternity. Any works, any good things you try to do to please God are corrupted. You cannot please God outside of His grace and His mercy. You may be the richest, the most powerful person. Perhaps you think, I have such good control of my life. I gym, I control my intelligence, everything. Well, you say that, but you are on the road to destruction if you trust in those things. The good things we do in this life are not for the sake of winning salvation. Friends, seek to do good not to win the favour of God, but to express your gratitude to Him as your Lord and Saviour, if He is that. The next thing we see is that the end of the wicked is certain. Verse 41 and 42. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. As these sailors accelerated to what they thought was a safe landing, they were instead heading faster and faster to an assured destruction, and they didn't even realize it. You see, while they were still in fairly deep water, a long way from the beach, the ship struck ground. It struck some rocks or some sands that was hidden just below the surface of the water. And such was their speed that the front of the ship stuck and could not be moved. They must have been very surprised when suddenly the ship got stuck. Oh, and friends, there will be many sinners who are very surprised when they come to the end of their lives. When suddenly life in this world is cut off and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't let it surprise you. Every one of us is going there one day. But the ship was stuck fast. It could not move. And while it stuck fast there, the waves continued to bash into the back of the ship and destroy it. If nothing was done soon, every soul on that ship would drown in that sea and be lost forever. And friends, isn't that something like a picture of the wrath of God? Oh, our own efforts for safety can lead to a destruction and an eternity under His wrath. As the waves beat on the back of that ship, so we can think of the wrath of God poured out on unforgiven sinners. The day when this happens will come as a surprise for many people. But friend, if you get to that point without Christ, know this. That eternal destruction is inescapable. Do not make the mistakes these sailors made. Keep or turn to God's way. But we do remember that every one of us is by nature a sinner. Every one of us needs a way of salvation. And we praise the Lord that there was, of course, a way of escape for these men. That's what we read about at the end, wasn't it? And so it was, they all escaped safely to land. These men were in a hopeless situation. To add to it, the soldiers even wanted to kill the prisoners. But just in that moment, when they were about to kill them, something changed. And I want to look at why that is the case. Can there really be a way of salvation for those that have rejected God in these vivid ways? Can one really go in the opposite direction to God and yet escape? Oh, dear souls, remember that God chose to pour out His wrath on another so we might escape. You see, in eternity past, God the Father set His love on His church. Such was His love that He had a great desire to save them both from their own sin and from His own wrath. And this, of course, friends, was why He sent our dear Lord Jesus Christ into this corrupt world. The dear Son of God, when He walked on this planet, experienced what we do. He knew pain and He knew temptation. He knew poverty. He knew attacks of the devil. He experienced rejection and mocking and spitting. Yet what was His response? It was just love. It was kindness, selflessness. was perfect contentment, worship in every moment. And such a thankfulness to his Father. Oh, how does that contrast with your life and your actions? Our lives so often just bring anger and dishonor to our Father in heaven. Yet the Lord Jesus brought him just pleasure and honor and glory. And this is why there was none other who was good enough and qualified to pay the price for sin. So let us see how the wrath of God was poured out on our dear Lord Jesus. Please turn to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to jump through a few verses here. As we think of those waves breaking up the back of the ship. Or here is the alternative. Matthew 26:38. Here is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me." I think exceeding sorrowful cannot begin to describe what the Lord Jesus suffered there. Think of that worst feeling of guilt you have ever experienced. And then multiply that by a million times, the guilt of everyone who would ever believe in Christ. It's little wonder that he sweat blood, as the other gospel writers tell us. And then look over to verse 59. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. Dear friends, nobody could find a fault in the Lord Jesus Christ, honestly. Yet still, they took him and they crucified him. Let's turn over to Matthew 27 and 26. Matthew 27, verse 26. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Friends, Christ was so humiliated that they let somebody else go in his stead, a criminal. Oh, and they beat him in such a wicked and cruel way. And then look at verse 28. They stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him. Oh, friends, they exposed the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. They shamed him in the most terrible way. And then they mocked him still more. Verse 29, and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him and took a reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him. And they crucified him. Oh friends, who has experienced such humiliation as our Lord Jesus? Who has experienced such pain as his? Yet look still down at verse 45 of Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. Such was the solemnity in the darkness of God's wrath being poured out, but the sun was hidden. And then about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so Christ experienced something no one of us will experience in this life. Being completely given up and forsaken by God the Father. The source of hope, the source of all things good, was cut off, and it was his own dear Father. Friends, this is the wrath of God being poured out for your sin and for mine. Do not wait for the waves to break your ship up. Look at this great alternative that the Lord God has provided. Nothing can compare. There is no sin worse than this. The price is paid. The way of salvation has been opened. The wrath of God the Father on sin was fully absorbed. And our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And my friend, he stands in heaven today with his nail-pierced hands open to welcome every soul who will turn in faith and repentance to him. And turning back to Acts 27, this is what we come to next. See verse 43. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept the soldiers from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard and get to land. What a change there was in this centurion. The same man who had rejected God's way earlier in the chapter now follows it. He knew that this ship was no good and only meant death to them. The ship was the way of man, remember. Our friends, who is the one who controls the sea? Who is the one who says, "This far your waves will come and no further," as we read? Oh, it is our God in heaven. So friends, I think what we see here in symbol, it's the centurion commanding these men, turn from the way of man, turn from the way of the world. And trust your lives into the hands of God. You see, friends, that salvation, that wrath that Christ bore for us was not for everyone. It was for those who turned to him. Had those sailors not got off that boat, had the 426 souls stayed, they would have been ruined. But praise God that they turned to God's way and they jumped into the sea. And they committed their lives into the hands of a gracious God. Friends, God changed this centurion's heart. And he repented. He turned from his old ways. And instead he ran after what the Apostle Paul told him, the way of God. He surrendered the old way of the world and trusted his life wholly to the God of the sea. And friends, that is the faith that every one of us must have. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith to leave your life in his hands. Faith to let go of that control you think you have on your life. And instead to surrender it to our gracious King. Have you believed and repented as this man? It is necessary. There is no escape without it. And so they all arrived safely. And that's where we come back to verse 44. And so it was, they all escaped safely to land. Look back at verse 34. There the Lord God through Paul promised that not a hair will fall from the head of any one of those on the ship. He appointed all 276 souls on that ship unto salvation. And how many made it safely? Every single soul. And that is how it is with every soul who has ever placed his faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not one will be lost. Not a single hair from your head. The Lord Jesus says this in John. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. Know, friends, this morning, that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for faith and repentance, you will not be cast away. He will bring you safely into peace with God. He will bring you into an eternal security in heaven. He will pour out His Holy Spirit into your heart. You have the sweet presence of God going with you the rest of your life. No longer will you be tossed up and down on life's billows, but instead have a perfect captain to guide you through this voyage. And a captain who you need not doubt, for He will bring you safely home. Friends, without Christ, we have a certain destruction. But with our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a certain salvation. And I think here, Paul, having escaped his fourth shipwreck, wants us to know this. Just as he had escaped four times, surely only by the grace of God. So, friends, it must be God who saves us. Friends, there are horrific storms in this world. None of us knows what lies ahead. None of us knows what lies under the surface of the water to destroy us. But one thing I know is this. There is a God in heaven who has won salvation. And He calls each one of us unto His salvation. Will you go to Him and surrender your life to Him today? Let's pray together. Our Father, we bless You for this incredible picture of a life without Christ and a life turning to Your salvation. Oh Lord, we recognize that in a way, this world is being tossed around with no direction and will one day come to a certain destruction. But Father, we thank You that You have provided a way of escape. We thank You that Your wrath was poured out on our dear Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we bless You that all who come to You, You will in no way cast out, and You will bring us safely to that heavenly shore where we can be assured of Your love and Your presence upon us in this life and forevermore. Oh Lord, melt our hearts, we pray. Show us our sin. Show us Your salvation. And give us a love and a repentance towards our Lord Jesus Christ, both now and forevermore, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.